This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad, Khatim al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbatihi ajma'in. We see now the section where Imam al-Haramain is going to define taqleed in two ways. And if you pay attention, actually he's saying the same thing. Then we're going to discuss briefly how Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, and I'll get into this later in greater detail in a separate session, frames taqleed in a way that contradicts the definition of Ahl Sunnah. And unfortunately, his definition is used to destabilize the subtle relationship between scholarship and non-scholarship, between the ulama and the layman, and to give laymen a sense of power which they don't have the right to have. And what that does is it creates chaos and destabilizes the community. That wasn't his intent, of course, rahimahullah. But that's been how it's been used. Sheikh, he says, rahimahullah, Imam al-Haramain, nafana Allah ta'ala bi'ilmihi fi darini amin qala wa taqlilu qabul. Don't say qabul. Qabul is the only, I heard from Dr. Akram, I also heard from Dr. Ali from Sudan. I read al-Fiyatu, Ibn Malik. Yani fa'ul is qabul, not fu'ul. Okay? Qabul is the only one that takes fathah with that form, fu'ul. Wa taqlilu qabul, to accept qawli al-qa'ili bila hujjah. This is very similar to what Imam al-Shawkani defines it as in al-qawlu mufid and also irshad al-fuhul. Irshad al-fuhul basically kind of based on bahr al-muhit of Zarkashi. But he sort of changed some things because he was a genius. Wa taqlidu qabul al-qawli al-qa'ili bila hujjah. Yani al-taqlid huwa qabuli al-qawl, to accept a statement, the opinion, bila hujjah, without evidence.
Amen.
So the problem that Shawkani has is that there's no evidence based on this definition, bila hujjah. However, what Imam al-Haramain means is an yadhkuraha, that there is a hujjah, but the one being asked didn't mention to the one that's asking. So there's a subtle problem here in how Shawkani defines taqlid, that you just follow someone, and that person also doesn't have evidence. That's the assumption. It's a problem. وَالتَّقْلِلُ قَابُولُ قَوْلِ الْقَائِلِ بِلَا حُجَّةِ أي أن يذكر هذه الحجة. فعلى هذا قابول قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يسمى تقليلا. Because understood that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and here we are able to show what Imam al-Haramain mentions. It's not that you follow someone without any proof. You follow someone, but maybe they didn't mention the proof to us because maybe we're not qualified to understand it. Maybe it's complex. Maybe it's difficult. Because we're not going to say that following the Prophet is taqlid. Itba' Sayyidina Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because we know he's the Prophet. وَمِنْهُمْ أَيْ مِنَ الْأُصُولِيِّينَ مَنْ قَالَ التَّقْلِيلُ قَابُولُ الْقَوْلِ الْقَائِلِ وَأَنْتَ لَا تَدْرِي مِنْ أَيْنَ قَالَهُ. And this is actually the profound definition used by the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh, of Ahlul Sunnah. He said, and it is said that taqlid is to accept the statement of somebody and you don't know where they got their evidence, but you know that they're a scholar. You know that there's evidence, you just don't know the evidence. So that's taqlid. We're not allowed to make taqlid of someone if we think they're not qualified or if we think they don't have evidence. That's why Imam Ibn Hajib, in his Mukhtasar, he says, and this is the definition I want you to hold on to, التقليد العمر بالقول غير من غير حجة. Yes, that تقليد مذموم, right, the تقليد which is not acceptable, is to follow someone's opinion without evidence. But تقليد المحمود, and which is a must, which is wajib, which followed upon the one that doesn't have knowledge, is al-amal bil-qawl al-ghayr min ghayri dhikri al-hujjah. Is to follow the statement of someone else, but they didn't mention the proof. Then he says, and this is the important part of Imam Ibn Hajib's definition, وَلَيْسَ الرُّجُعُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ وَإِلَى الْإِجْمَعِ الْمُتَيَقَّنِ وَالْعَامِ إلى المفتي، والقاضي إلى العدول، تقليدا لقيام الحجة. It's very important what he's saying, and this is going to bring hopefully a lot of unity amongst the Muslims, and pull in this sort of unnecessary effort to destabilize the role of ulama. Imam Ibn Hajim says that taqlid is to act upon the statement of somebody without them mentioning proof. Therefore, referring to the Prophet ﷺ for a ruling, or to ijma, which is certain, which is authentic, authenticated, or the layman referring to a mufti, or a judge referring to a witness. This is not taqlid in the negative sense. This actually is fard. لِقِيَامِ الْحُجَّةِ. We'll talk about that later on, inshallah. So I want you to understand that, because the framing of Imam Ash-Shawkani, which has been widespread amongst some contemporary Salafis, not all of them. I'm not using the word Salafi as a pejorative. There are brothers with their brothers, walhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, our sisters are sisters. We need to stop working about how we can engage in dysfunctionality. How can we engage in functionality? And this is an academic discussion. So, الرجوع إلى رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أو إلى الإجماع أو العم إلى المفتي أو القاضي إلى العدول ليس تقليدا مضموما بل هي تقليد مفروضا بل هي تقليد مفروض أو تقليدا مفروضا. That type of taqlid we have to engage in. The Prophet says, somebody goes to Waraq ibn Nawfal, says, هذا النموس الذي أنزله الله تعالى على موسى. This is the angel that was sent to Musa. The Prophet didn't start asking for his evidence and this and this. قلده صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we know that there were numerous Sahaba that would ask the Sahaba issues. They would have mentioned the evidence then. They would mention the ruling. فإن قلنا إن نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول بالقياس فيجوز أن يسمى قابول قوله تقليدا. If we now say that the Prophet ﷺ, a new issue, made ijtihad, then we can say what he did, what we follow is taqlid. يعني, okay, but the Prophet ﷺ, ما ينطق عن الهوى, right? The Prophet ﷺ is speaking, giving answers from wahi. But there are four opinions about did the Prophet ﷺ make ijtihad or not. Number one, he did. It's the opinion of Imam Al-Amidi, the opinion of Imam Ibn Hajib, Imam Malik. Number two, he didn't. Number three, he did, but only in issues related to siyasa, to political issues, sharia. It's mentioned in classical books. And the fourth opinion, at-tawakuf. It's the opinion of Imam Al-Razi and the majority of the muhaqqiqin. Saying we're not saying anything. We have nothing to say about it. Tawakuf. What's the evidence for those who say that the Prophet ﷺ made ijtihad? قوله سبحانه وتعالى سورة النجم وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. Also, سورة أنفال, verse 67. ما كان لنبي, it's not for the Prophet ﷺ, أن يكون له أسرى حتى يثقن في الأرض, to have captives, right? To hold captives until, you know, they gain control, the Prophet and his army gain control, subdue those armies. Because we know Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet asked them what he should do with those captives, Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, you know, you should hold them. Sayyidina Umar said, you should exterminate them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went with the opinion of Abu Bakr. Later on, the verses came that corrected his ijtihad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, the 43rd chapter, 43rd verse of the 9th chapter, Afallahu an kalima idhin talahu. You know, why did you forgive them? Allah has forgiven you that you let them go, like you excused them. Right? So here, these are evidences by those who say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqad ijtahid. Then they use the verse in Surah Al-Najm. I have it in front of me, verse 3 and 4. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُحَىٰ. He doesn't speak from his hawa, from his desires. What he speaks is wahi. They say that it's clear, as Imam Ibn Ashur mentions, that this is in reference to the Qur'an only. So what's understood, if it's coming from Quran, then outside of the Quran, he was given the freedom of ijtihad. Those who say, no, لا يمكن أن يجتهد, they say, no, this verse is عام, وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى, in everything. Not just in relationship to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also in everything else. This is the difference, which you know, you're going to find a lot of discussion and debate about. Sahih, the strong opinion, is mentioned by Sahib al-Hashiyah. والصحيح جواز الاجتهاد للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ووقوعه منه وهو الذي رجح ابن حاجب وغيره. And the strong opinion is that yes, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم could make اجتهاد. There's a lot of evidence for this. Maybe we'll go through them in future text. But this is what was strengthened by the great Imam, the Maliki, the Kurdish scholar, Imam Ibn Hajib al-Maliki. Rahimahullah. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum allahu khairan. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.